We've talked about love among elders and the correct attitude among elders. Now I'd like to give you some very practical suggestions for building love and unity among the leadership body. In 1 Corinthians 16:14, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Let all that you do be done in love." As is obvious, this would include relationships among elders. And I want to share with you a personal learning experience as it relates to love and unity among church leaders. I've had the privilege to serve as a church elder for the last 18 years. And currently I serve with four other elders in our local church. And I can honestly say that my experiences have transformed me into a better person. Dealing with stressful situations over the years with men who are equally flawed has been somewhat like a workshop for developing Christ-like character in my life. Serving as an elder is a life-changing experience where God develops us into mature, Christ-like men. Working together forces us to exercise patience and self-control, gentleness. It forces us to improve in our people skills, to stretch our mind to see others' ideas, and to become better Bible students, and of course to practice humility and forgiveness. I like what King Solomon said in Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Of course, for this to occur, an elder must be teachable. He must be open to constructive criticism, willing to have his opinions challenged, and willing to grow and improve. As it turns out, one of the other elders in my local church also happens to be one of my dearest friends in life. We enjoy hobbies together. We communicate almost on a daily basis. We share our personal lives. We hold each other spiritually accountable. And while I certainly love and respect the other elders I serve with, I usually do not interact with them outside the church leadership context. Here's what I noticed. What I noticed was that in critical and stressful moments, say at an elders' meeting, my interaction with my friend was more loving and patient than my interaction with the other elders. With the other elders, my interaction was more formal and businesslike. And I got to thinking, why the difference? Well, my friend and I had developed a friendship relationship in addition to elder relationship. We had a history. It was not simply a task-oriented, business-at-hand relationship. And what I learned from this observation was that my relationship with my other fellow elders was imbalanced. And while we had a cordial business relationship, we lacked a deeper level loving relationship. And I believe this is crucial for any leadership team. Now, while it's unrealistic to expect all elders to be the best of friends as well, a leadership team can take the necessary steps to foster deeper relationships. Let me give you a few practical suggestions toward building a more loving and caring environment amongst the leadership team. First of all, plan and implement a yearly retreat for the leaders and their wives. Now, the purpose of this time away would be to encourage and enjoy fellowship among the leadership team with their wives. Today we live in a hyper-busy society, and rarely do we have time to enjoy deep fellowship with our fellow elders. And think about this. A weekend away together could help the leadership team move beyond simply having a business relationship to building a deeper, more intimate connection. And then secondly, intentionally plan social interactions during the year for the leaders. Now, while a yearly time away together would be a move in the right direction, much more fellowship would be needed to build a healthy, loving atmosphere amongst the leadership. Church leaders are constantly in the midst of spiritual warfare. We're dealing with church conflicts, grappling with difficult people problems, handling complaints and criticism, doctrinal disputes. And frankly, such issues can weary an elder board. And therefore, elders should be intentional in pursuing regular social settings together for fellowship and mutual encouragement and, of course, accountability. These could be times such as regularly scheduled meals together, practice hospitality, not only for the church at large, but for our fellow elders and their wives, or occasional lunches during the week, breakfast before work, maybe on a monthly basis, and recreation, golf, hunting, fishing, time to relax and get to know one another. And all these suggestions would help to build a healthy, loving atmosphere amongst the leadership team. It must be intentional, or in time the atmosphere can become cold and corporate, where programs become more important than people. And beloved, this is a worthy goal, to deepen our relationship and build a sense of family where we share laughter and have some fun together. We cry together. We carry each other's burdens. We resolve conflict together. And we seek to build a good team culture and a sense of community amongst the leaders. Let me encourage you, get this on the agenda. Plan for it, or it'll never happen. And then thirdly, purposely set a time, a regular time now, aside for praying and sharing personal needs. At the start of each elder meeting, let's say, set a specific time apart before proceeding with the business at hand, and use this time to share personal struggles and temptation. Or perhaps you have family matters. Pray for specific family members, or thank God for each other. Ask for counsel. Practice mutual accountability. Elders must remember that in addition to shepherding the flock, we're also responsible for caring for the well-being of each leader and their family. Elders and their families are particular targets of our enemy. Setting aside of time to pray for and focus on the specific pastoral needs of fellow leaders and their families is crucial to building a loving atmosphere amongst the leadership team. I find that an attitude of prayer for my fellow elders also diminishes the potential for conflict with them. It diminishes any temptation to judge them or be unkind to them. You see, it's difficult to hold them up to the throne of grace and pray God's best for them and then turn around and mistreat them. Prayer fosters kindness and forbearance among church leaders. Moving on. Design and implement a pledge of protection for the leadership body. I believe it's naive to believe that relationships among church leaders will always be smooth sailing. The potential for conflict and damage relationship is very high. Hurt feelings, mistrust, infighting, power struggles, all these things can sabotage the unity of an elder board. And wise elders will anticipate conflict and get out ahead of the problem. One way to do this is draw up a document that outlines biblical principles of how conflict will be handled when it arises. Included in the document will be pledges to pray for and support each elder and their family. Things like never gossip or slander a fellow elder. Always represent each other accurately without exaggeration. To respect all confidences. To foster a safe environment within the team to be able to express contrary opinions, and to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit when conflict does arise. In the heat of the moment, when conflict arises among leaders, there's a tendency to revert back to what the Apostle Paul called the works of the flesh. And with a pledge, there are clear boundaries. When the boundaries are crossed, it's much easier to resolve issues because all had agreed to abide by the contents of the pledge. And if nothing's written down, the situation can be rather murky. There's little to no expectation on how elders are to behave in stressful situations. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 mentions 15 examples of the works of the flesh. 8 of them seem to be particularly common when an elder board is not led by the Spirit when that conflict does come. They are things such as enmity, in other words, hostility, strife, jealousy, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. And a few verses later, in Galatians 5:26, Paul adds these words, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Because the male ego is so fragile, it can quickly become volatile. And this seems to be the case in theological discussions, especially if one's theological point of view is ridiculed or dismissed, or if one's self-respect has been attacked. So it's good to be prepared and have a stated plan on how elders will behave in the midst of conflict. Paul prepared the Galatians for dealing with the works of the flesh. He said, through love, serve one another. But Paul knew, and we must understand, that by ourselves we do not have the power to either resist the works of the flesh or to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, any attempt at unity among the elders will be short-lived if church leaders are not spiritual men. Elders must be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led men. They must be men who constantly seek to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. And while all nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned by Paul in Galatians 5 are essential for maintaining love and unity among elders, the last one mentioned is especially needed, and that is self-control. It's easy to love in theory when all is going well, but in the heat of the moment, self-control serves like a gatekeeper holding back the works of the flesh from gushing through. Listen again to what Paul says in Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Also, determine to have the hard conversations when they're needed. If you're like me, you seek to avoid conflict, if at all possible. Yet, is there a time when smiling and being nice can be counterproductive? I believe the answer is yes. One defense mechanism we often employ when conflict or hard issues arise among leaders is to simply avoid dealing with them. We're really good at dancing around issues and ignoring white elephants in the room, aren't we? We prefer to maintain peace and be civil and nice. For example, we would rather tolerate a bully, a controlling elder, intimidation tactics, inappropriate behavior, harsh communication, and things like this, rather than having the hard conversation. Frankly, we're just not that good at speaking up. And the problem, however, is that avoiding conflict really sabotages genuine community and deep relationships. Listen to Proverbs 27, verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse or deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Leaders must be intentional when it comes to having the hard conversations. Beloved, when people know you love them, you can say hard things to them. Shying away from speaking truth to a beloved colleague leads to superficial relationships. I confess that at times I have remained silent when I should have spoken up. I've gone along with decisions against my will for fear of what others might think of me. And I've tolerated behavior unbecoming of an elder because I didn't want to have the difficult conversation. Sadly, problems are perpetuated when we remain silent in times when we should be speaking up. We mistakenly think we're maintaining peace, but really we're prolonging an unhealthy environment. And I would say this, regularly set goals and evaluate progress as a team. Leaders are not going to wake up in a few years and say, hey, how did we achieve such peace and unity in our elder board? How is it that we love each other in spite of our disagreements? How do we become a healthy, mature group of men? Not going to happen. It's going to require constant maintenance and hard work. And it needs to be an intentional part of the elder agenda over time. Let me finish by reminding you of how very important your work is as an under-shepherd. You are caring, beloved, for blood-bought sheep. In other words, God paid an unbelievably high price for His sheep. It cost Him the very life of His dear Son. And so it's a big deal to Him how they're cared for. And that care can only come from a leadership team that is growing, that is intentional, and that is healthy. And our growth and health as leaders is not going to occur by chance. We must be intentional about it. But you know what? It's worth the effort, both for us as well as the flock of God. And so I want to leave you with the words of Peter again in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.